according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to judge or to arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So is the one who lays treasure up for himself and is not rich toward God. These are some pretty strong words from Jesus this morning, a warning of how it is for the worldly rich man in the parable who is spiritually poor, and he is the exact opposite of the man who is spiritually rich. Worldly riches are no help. In fact, in Matthew, Jesus tells us how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's recap this parable. The land of a rich man produced an abundant crop, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store my grains and goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Notice how utterly alone the rich man is. He is his own preacher. And he has a lot to say about what's going on in his life, why he has so many things, and what to do with them. "My crops, my barns, my grains, my goods, all because, as he put it, my land produced. What will I do with my things? Why do I need this or that? Well, I deserve it. I earned it. I planted it. I harvested. I put in the hours. I have the experience. I'm better than others. I'm so much more fortunate. I'm so blessed. Life could not be any better." Sort of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Today we call it being a self-made man. But no matter how many times he said these things, none of it was true. None of it was his, and it was all for nothing. He thought he was in total control, but it would come all crashing down. Not in years, not in months, not even in days, but this very night. "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. And your things, who will they belong to next?" We spent 7 years in Sabin, Minnesota, right in the middle of farm country in Minnesota, and farm auctions were very common. A family with no heirs, a lifetime worth of possessions were sold to the highest bidder, oftentimes at pennies on the dollar. And what was not sold was often hauled off in the trash. The teacher in Ecclesiastes says it's meaningless that he must leave all that he has worked for to the one who comes after him. And our lives are not all that far removed from the parable. Our lives, our homes, garages, outbuildings, our cabinets, closets, attics, basements are often filled with things. Things that make us feel good and comfortable. Things we like. Things that make us feel proud. And we tell ourselves all kinds of things about them. So instead of preaching to ourselves, our gracious Father in heaven sent another preacher, a messenger. He sends his own son to proclaim, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Because good gifts from God can become gods in our hearts. St. John in his first epistle wrote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This is what the rich man missed. Rich in the world, but poor in the word. For us today, we must be truly thankful, not just for all of the things we have, but all of the things such as our daily bread that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of this life. For we know that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven. But our sinful nature trades this truth for a lie and worships and serves the gift rather than the giver. It's why we get so worried about all the things we have or could have or want to have. We tell ourselves all sorts of things, and it sounds a lot like the guy in the parable. Now, we know that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. And today we learn what Jesus is not. He's not a vending machine. He's not a probate judge. He's not an arbitration counselor. See, that's what the man wanted, who comes up to Jesus in our reading, expecting Jesus to meet our instructions and give directions. No, Jesus comes to say, "Your things, your farm, your family, whatever you have on that list after saying faith in, is not your God." He says, "I am your God, and you shall have no other God before me." God does not extend his glory to anything, especially the things in our lives. So these are the words we need to be truly rich. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, so that you, by his poverty, may become rich." Jesus gave up everything. All the riches of heaven and the glories due to him who through all things were made to be one of us. He took on the form of a servant and was obedient to the will of the Father all the way to the cross. As Galatians tells us, he was cursed for us. The one who knew no sin became sin so that we would become righteous in him. His death and resurrection delivers all the bounties of salvation to you, and always at the proper time. He has come to silence all of our self-preaching by saying, "I baptize you, I forgive you, I give you my body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins." From these words comes forgiveness, life, and salvation. You see, where the rich man was poor, God makes us rich in his words. That's how we are toward the Father. We are rich in Jesus, in his forgiveness, in his mercy, from his forgiving mercy and bestowing words. For those who desire worldly things, they are inexpressibly, incalculably, and eternally poor. They have no words of life in them. Jesus does not leave much to the imagination as to what happened next after the rich man who trusted the creation met his creator. But for those who are on the receiving and believing end of Jesus' promises, those who say his blood is more precious than gold and silver, than gold or fine gold, we are inexpressibly, incalculably, eternally rich. For in him we are rich with the words of life. As the Hebrews writer tells us, the Lord is my helper, not the farm, not our money, not anything that we have. Jesus is your mediator and redeemer. He is your God and Savior. He is your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And when you die, being actually that rich in words toward God and Jesus, well, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor heart of the man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. We stand and confess our faith.